Is anybody for crumbling bridges, leaky airports, or power lines that burn out? President Trump may talk infrastructure tonight. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Later on, President Trump delivers his second State of the Union address. Expect to hear about a border wall, though it's not clear if the president will take the dramatic step tonight of declaring a national emergency to get the money. But other topics may have more bipartisan appeal, like this perennial money for infrastructure. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports from Washington.
President Trump brought up infrastructure at his last State of the Union.
He said that we can't have a 21st century economy without dated infrastructure, and it's something that he felt would garner bipartisan support.
Brigham McCown is head of the Alliance for Innovation and Infrastructure, but the president's plan didn't go anywhere.
When it comes down to who's going to pay for the bill, it's like everyone shoves their hands in their pockets and looks around like they didn't hear the question.
This time, there seems to be more support from both parties to do something about roads, bridges, water systems. Plus, says Michelle Nellenbach at the Bipartisan Policy Center,
the highway programs will expire at the end of this Congress. So whether it's a big comprehensive infrastructure bill or not, there has to be something done.
And heading into an election year, lawmakers have an incentive to show folks back home some kind of work is actually getting done. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
In Zimbabwe and southeastern Africa, economic disarray and the falling currency has led to news today that bread in that country will immediately go up 60%. The price of fuel in Zimbabwe has spiked dramatically in recent months. Today, teachers went on strike over wages. The BBC's Shingai Nioka reports from the capital, Harare.
The unions themselves appear to be divided. Representatives say while the southern city of Bulawayo reported a 75% success rate, in Harare most reported for work for fear of reprisals and losing their jobs. Zimbabwe's unemployment rate is over 80%. Teachers say the rising cost of living has eroded their salaries, and over the weekend the price of bread rose by over 60% to $2.35. The country has struggled to find foreign currency to import critical raw materials such as wheat, and President Emmerson Mnangagwa is under pressure to contain a wave of discontent as the country experiences its worst economic crisis in a decade.
That's Shingai Nioka in Zimbabwe. She's with our editorial partner, the BBC. We recently heard from Tom in Basel, Switzerland, who wrote to tell us that he appreciates and trusts the way that Marketplace analyzes the economy without foolishness or bias and makes him think about issues in different ways. Now, if you agree with Tom, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to Tom and everyone who makes our work possible. Now to a piece of financial engineering months in the making. Germany, France, and Britain the other day announced they have devised a way so that some European companies can keep doing business with Iran despite the reimposition of U.S. sanctions. For a teachable moment on how the new European funding channel might work, we turn to Keith Johnson, a global geoeconomics correspondent for Foreign Policy magazine. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So a bit of context, the Trump administration pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal, but Europeans see it quite differently.
A lot of European countries and the European Union itself had been instrumental in brokering the original deal and obviously had a lot of stake in keeping it alive, basically because they believe that it helps constrain Iran's nuclear ambitions. And so ever since the Trump administration's pullout, Europe has sort of been casting about for some sort of way to keep Iran in the deal, which basically means delivering some of the economic benefits that the deal was supposed to deliver to Iran.
So they were in search of what they were calling an SPV, a special purpose vehicle, and they've come up with something. What is this thing?
Yeah, they've come up with something. They managed to actually get an acronym, which is even more confusing than SPV. They formally launched INSTEX. It's a special purpose financial vehicle, but basically the idea is that Iran will essentially be able to have access to food, medicine, medical devices without going through, you know, the U.S. dominated financial system. So no dollar transactions, no vulnerability to U.S. sanctions. For right now, the new entity is limited to those humanitarian goods, which aren't supposed to be sanctioned anyway.
Well, how will they do this? Like some sort of barter system, or will they just use a European bank, or what's the deal?
Yeah, it's basically, you know, the Iranians can trade either oil or, you know, currencies in, and then the European companies that choose to participate, they can then provide their goods without having any transactions go through the clearing in New York, which is what would give the U.S. the ability to sanction them.
If this new mechanism were seen to be used by companies that are not involved in food or humanitarian type trade, if there was mission creep.
Well, you know, it wouldn't be mission creep. It would be by design, because this is just the initial sort of setup phase. But the objective is to make the membership wider and also to facilitate the trade in bigger ticket items. What Iranian leaders, and particularly President Hassan Rouhani, need are investment in the energy sector, aviation, industrial goods. So, you know, Europe is hoping at some future date to facilitate broader trade, and that's where it would run headfirst into a collision course with the U.S.
Keith Johnson is global geoeconomics correspondent for Foreign Policy magazine. He spoke to us from Madrid. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the man who is arguably the single most powerful economic policymaker in the country had dinner with President Trump last evening, Jerome Powell, chair of the Federal Reserve. No details of what was talked about, but what was not talked about was the direction of interest rates. This dinner is notable because until recently, Powell has been on Trump's last nerve, with the president suggesting if there's a recession, it'll be the Fed's fault. Also says here it was Powell's 66th birthday yesterday. Maybe he got the cake when he got home afterward. Our producers are Victoria Craig, Michael Lipkin, Daniel Shin, and Sasha Woodruff. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.